Good morning, City Light Church. I hope you're ready to hear the Word of God. Let's just open with a word of prayer. Dear Father, we thank you so much that we have this opportunity to come together online and just experience you, God. Thank you so much for all your blessings and everything you're doing in this time, God, keeping us safe, keeping us on task. Thank you for loving us. Well, help me to preach the world with conviction and in your Holy Spirit. Amen. I hope you guys are all having a great week. Today I've titled my message, Walk by Faith. We can all do things to strengthen our faith. Your faith is revealed by the choices you make. So I'm going to spend a little bit of time talking about choices. Big or small, choices, they affect our future. Did you know that we make over 2,500 choices every day? And if we are not intentional in the decisions we are making, we're going to miss out on the future that God has planned for us. My children are always making choices. Every day. Some of them are good, some not so good. My three-year-old, Zelina, is often making wrong choices. But what do you expect, guys? She's only three. Zelina recently decided to swallow a quarter. Now, that was a bad choice. It ended up lodging in her esophagus, right where it meets the stomach. And we actually had to take her in, and they had surgery. They put her under, and they fished down her throat and pulled a quarter back out through her mouth. I will tell you one thing. Zelina will never swallow another coin. She learned from her poor choice. Choices, they usually have consequences. They can be good or bad. And choices influence our future selves. The first point I want to talk to you guys about. Point number one, your future is determined by the choices you make. This is simple cause and effect. Think about it. If we get hungry and we choose not to eat, we stay hungry. If we choose to overeat, then the consequence is we're overweight. And if we choose to stay up late night watching Netflix all night, then the next morning we're going to wake up feeling groggy and we're tired. Now, I never do that. Some choices we make have a bigger impact, however. Big choices are, what career will you choose? Or who will you marry? I made the perfect choice on that one, by the way. Or will you have kids? And if so, how many? I have five, and I couldn't be happier about that. Choices, choices. Some small choices can even have a big impact in our life. Choices don't need to be big to have big impacts. Someone addicted to smoking, they chose to take that first puff. A drug addict chose to take that first hit. People don't choose to become addicts. It's small choices over time that influence their circumstances, and their future is impacted in a significant way. God has a plan for your future. This plan he has is meant to give you an abundant life. Let's read about what the Bible says about God's plan for your future. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. Before I knew you in your mother's womb, I formed you. So even before we're born, God's hand's in action. He's influencing us. Jeremiah chapter 29, 11. I love this verse, very popular. The Lord has plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope in a future. These are good things. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 11. We have been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything according to his purposes. The Bible talks a lot about God working out things for his purposes. And this word predestined here means that God has predetermined a course that is meant to give us all these blessings. God's plan, it's more than we can think of ourselves. You know, we read Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or all we imagine. God, he has limitless power. He has limitless love. You can't put a limit on anything. And we have these imaginations and we can fathom up a lot of things. But in Ephesians 3:20, he says that he can do more than we can even imagine. So God has an amazing plan for all of our lives. All right. Awesome. Now we can all stay home and live happily ever after because our future is great and planned out by God. But if you've been on this earth more than a couple minutes, you know this isn't always true. Why not? It's because the choices we make can override the plan that God has for our lives. It's called free will. We all have it, the ability to make our own choices. Think about the choice Adam and Eve made so long ago. They chose to eat the fruit from the tree of knowledge and good and evil. Adam and Eve disobeyed God with that choice, and they altered God's plan for humanity. This was the first bad choice. But bad choices are being made all around us, and they're being made all the time. I have this thing on my cell phone. It's called Google Maps. Now, whenever I'm in an unfamiliar place and I need to figure out where I need to go, I can pull up my phone and use Google Maps. Okay, if I'm in Calgary and I forget where the zoo is, I look at my phone, Google Maps, type it in, Calgary Zoo, and it's going to take me directly to the zoo. It's amazing. Not only will it get me there, but it's going to take me the quickest, the easiest, the most fast possible way that I can take. It even takes into consideration things like construction or obstacles that may come up along the way. In the same way, God has a path for our lives to get us where He wants us to go. Now, sometimes I may make a wrong turn or miss a turn. And when this happens, Google doesn't get on my case and get frustrated and say, well, you know what, buddy? You're on your own. That was your fault. No. What does Google Maps do? It recalibrates, gives me a new route to get to my destination. God does the same thing, right? It talks about in the Bible, God will never leave us. He'll never forsake us. Even when we choose not to listen, or we choose not to obey Him, or when He says, don't do this, and we go ahead and do it anyways, He'll give us another chance. He plots us a new course, just like that GPS recalibrates. Every bad choice, though, it will take us further from the plan God has for our lives. This brings me to my second point. Choices are made by either our flesh or by the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 8, verse 7, it says that the mind governed by flesh is hostile to God. The flesh is hostile to God. It's against God. It's God's enemy, and yet it's such a part of us. When we make choices based on our own well-being, we move further away from the plan that God has for our lives. In order to make right choices, we need to deny ourselves. There's a story in the Bible, you're probably familiar with it, it's about God's chosen people, the Israelites. They get out of Egypt, they walk across the Red Sea on dry land, God is with them, and He's bringing them into this place He's chosen for them. He calls it the Promised Land. It's the land flowing with milk and honey. Makes me think of breakfast. So Moses is leading them, and he decides to send 12 spies in advance, go scout out the area, see if this promised land is really all it's cracked up to be. So they go in, and they come back. 10 of these spies, they return, and they're absolutely petrified. They paint a picture of a place that's filled with giants. They say, if we go in there, we're going to be held captive, or maybe we'll be put to death. There's no way we should go in there. These men, they're choosing to react with their flesh. They were worried for their lives, and they decided, they made a choice not to go into the promised land. Two of those 12 disciples, however, Joshua and Caleb, they brought back a different report. They urged the people to go in. They said, hey guys, this is everything God has promised us. There's abundant fruit, abundant resources. This land is flowing with milk and honey. It's great. Let's go in there. Joshua and Caleb were making a choice based on the Spirit, putting their trust in God. Unfortunately, in this story, the majority ruled, and the people of God missed out on the future God had planned for them because they were making choices based on the flesh. Romans 8:6 says, the mind governed by the flesh is death. But it continues, and it says, the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. If you make choices according to the Spirit, guys, you are making choices based on life and based on peace. Now, you might say, that all sounds great, but how do we know what choices are motivated by the flesh and which are motivated by the Spirit? That's a great question. And there is answers to that in Scripture. Choices made by the Spirit, they're made in good conscience, or what some people would call a gut feeling. Remember that movie Pinocchio that Disney made? I watched it as a kid. Now, every time Pinocchio would lie, his nose would grow. But he was given this little friend, a little green cricket named Jiminy Cricket, and he would help him make the right choices. We might not have a cricket to help us along, but what we have is much more powerful, and that's the Holy Spirit. Let's read through 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. Timothy, my son, I'm giving you this command in keeping with the prophecies once made about you, so that by recalling them, you may fight the battle well, holding on to faith and a good conscience, which some have rejected and still have suffered shipwreck with regard to their faith. Hold on to faith and a good conscience. Your faith in God and listening to your conscience, These two things go hand in hand. If we are to live out our God-given future, our choices need to be made in good conscience. Have you ever thought back on a decision you made and said, I had a feeling at the time that it was the wrong thing to do, but I did it anyways? We all have those times. That feeling is often God trying to point you in the right direction, trying to give you a little nudge and a kick. I'm sure if you think back on that bad decision you made, it ended up having a bad outcome. It's a big lesson that I've learned in my business. You know, I need to learn to say no to certain jobs. There are times when I have a bad feeling going into it about a client or about the work I'm doing, and instead of not doing it, I go ahead. That's not a good idea. Instead, I need to pray, I need to seek God's direction, and decide what the right choice is. I can also seek godly counsel. I encourage you guys to surround yourself with godly men and women of God. Sometimes an outside perspective can lead you to making the right choice. It can help you with your conscience, the choice that will lead you into the plan God has for you. So make choices in the spirit, not the flesh. And the more you do this, the easier it will become. You keep denying the flesh, feeding the spirit. Denying the flesh, feeding the spirit. It doesn't happen overnight. You build on it. The more you do it, the easier it will become, and the easier you'll be discerned to hear what the Spirit's telling you. If you're in the Spirit and in tune with the Holy Spirit, He will speak very, very clearly to you. And it also gets easier to deny the flesh. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 says, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Spirit-led choices will lead to the fulfilling future God has planned for you. This brings me to my third point. Choose the will of God for your life. This lines up with the last point. In order to choose the will of God, you need to be willing to obey. I'm going to give you an example found in the Bible. It's found in Luke chapter 5. It's a great story. It starts out with Jesus preaching to the people, teaching the people, as he often does. And there's a great crowd gathering around him. And these people, you know, they're a little pushy. They want to get close. They want to hear what he's saying. So Jesus is backing up slowly. And suddenly he feels the water nipping at his heels. So Jesus decides, hop up into this guy's boat. And he asks the owner of the boat to pull it out of ways. The guy on the boat, his name is Simon. He's going to be an important character in Scripture. So Simon pulls his boat out, and Jesus keeps teaching from the boat. Jesus finishes teaching, and later he turns to Simon and he asks him, says, pull your boat out into deeper water, and put down your nets for a catch. Now Simon, him and his men, they were fishing all night, and they caught nothing. Now the Bible talks about this. He didn't even catch one fish. These are professional fishermen. This is what they do for a trade. I know I'm a carpenter by trade, and I don't like people telling me how to do my job. I'm a professional, and especially if they have no idea what they're doing. Here, a carpenter is telling a fisherman how to fish. So to Simon, the idea of going out, it made no sense to him. I've done a little fishing, and I know the best time to fish seems to be at dusk or at dawn. But after Simon had been listening to Jesus for a while, something inside him must have been inspired. Something that Jesus said must have touched Peter deep in his soul. Because he says to Jesus, we haven't caught anything all night, but because you are asking me to do it, Jesus, I will. Hear this complete stranger that he only met minutes ago, but he hears him preach and teach, and he says, I'm going to do what you're asking me to do. That is faith. The timing was all wrong. It didn't make sense. Is God calling you into something right now? In the time of fear? In this time of unknown? Is God asking you to go fishing? I believe God's asking us all to go fishing. He wants us to get out there. He wants us to reach people for Jesus Christ, which is the mission of this church. But we have a choice. Are we going to let fear dictate our decisions? Or will we be like Simon Peter, who said, because you are asking me to do this, Jesus, I'm going to do it. Is God asking you to start something new? Is God asking you to start a new business? Is he asking you to reach out to lost souls around you? Maybe God's asking you to dive deep into the scriptures, to read the Bible more. Maybe God's asking you to get deeper into worship. Maybe God's asking you to give more now to the church than you ever have in your entire past. It might not make sense, but God asks us to do things in his timing. Often it can seem like the wrong timing. Like in the middle of the day, when you already spent all night fishing and you're tired and you don't want to do it. Or maybe in the middle of a pandemic, when hope is dwindling. Often God works during the wrong time because it reveals more of His glory, more of His power. Those times when we act in faith and onlookers look at us and they witness and they have no other choice but to believe that things are moving in the right direction because of God. Because the circumstances and the world, they don't look bright. They don't look up, but they look at us and they're inspired. What is God calling you in to do at this time? When we're being called by the government to inaction, what action is God calling you to take? He doesn't want us to sit still. He wants us still to be reaching souls. And I believe there is a hunger now that wasn't there before. And this hunger is continuing to grow. And we have a great opportunity for a great harvest. But we need to act. The story continues. You know, they head out into their boat after Peter listens to Jesus. And they throw their nets over. And they start to pull these nets out of the water. And these nets are full of fish. They're so full that these nets begin to break. And they call for another boat to come over. And they fill both boats with fish. So much fish, in fact, that both these boats begin to sink. After Simon Peter witnesses this, you know, he sees this miracle. He falls down at the feet of Jesus. He tells Jesus that he is not worthy. Jesus looks at him and he says, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people." So Simon and his partners, James and John, they left everything and they followed Jesus. They became his disciples. This is such a great story. Now Simon, he goes on to be called Peter, which means rock, because Jesus would build his church on Peter. I want to quickly look at this story and pull out three choices that Peter made, and it led him to live out his God-given future. Hopefully you can relate to these choices in your own life. Let them inspire you. Let them to help you take action. Choice number one, Peter allowed Jesus onto the boat. In a sense, Peter's allowing Jesus to be part of his life. He's beginning this relationship. And the first step in choosing God's will for our lives, it is to ask Jesus into our hearts. It's what we call, as Christians, salvation. And it is a point we all need to start with. Simply accepting Jesus as our Lord and Savior, asking Him to forgive our sins and to be Lord of our lives. Choice number two Peter makes is Peter lets down his nets. Even though it didn't make any sense, even though his flesh told him not to, his mind and his knowledge said, "Why am I doing this?" But he decides to act in faith. As Christians, sometimes God is going to call us into something that goes against our human thinking. And not sometimes, He often calls us to do things that go against our human thinking. And it is in these times that we're challenged, facing the challenge of storms. These decisions are crucial in shaping our future. Your future self, it's going to thank you for the times that you stepped out in faith. You're not going to regret stepping out. You're not going to regret the times in your life when you chose to take action instead of just going with the crowd. Look back at your life. Look at the greatest accomplishments that you have. It seems like the things that matter most to you, they took a lot of faith on your end. The most exciting times, the most life-changing memories you have, they started out led by the Spirit. And choice number three, Peter decides to leave everything behind and follow Jesus to be a fisher of men. When we decide to follow God, it needs to be an all-in kind of decision. It can't be something that we only do on Sundays. It is a decision that changes your life. And that change should show up on the outside through our actions. People around you should notice that you're a Christian. They should notice that you're different. They should notice something about you that sets you apart. Amen? Right now is a time of testing. Foundations are literally being shook. Those who truly are all in for Jesus right now are faring best. I believe something is not true until it is truly tested. Something is not true until it is truly tested. And our faith, it's being tested. And what remains after this testing is going to show where your walk with God truly is. Are you still on fire? Do you see opportunities where other people around you see restrictions? Do you see hope where other people see fear? Do you see Jesus moving in a more powerful way where other people feel like He's abandoned them, He's left them high and dry? Oh, where's God in these times? Why are these bad things happening to me? Jesus is moving. I see it. Peter would have missed out on being part of the greatest story ever told if he didn't choose to follow Jesus. Jesus asks each of us to follow him. Jesus asks each of us to live for him. Follow him at all costs, no matter what the world says. Don't let the world dictate how you live your life right now. Let the Spirit lead you. Are you willing to be part of the greatest story ever told? Don't miss out on the awesome, the abundant, beautiful future God has planned for you. Choose life. Choose Jesus. Follow him. And walk by faith. Let's close in prayer. Dear Father, I thank you so much for the blessing of this word. I thank you so much for your Spirit, God. I thank you for the leading of your Spirit in these times. God, I just want to pray with anyone who hasn't made that first choice to start a relationship with you. If that's you, I just encourage you to pray along with me right now. Dear Heavenly Father, I know I am a sinner. I know only you can forgive my sins. I ask you to forgive my sins. I invite you into my heart. I desire to start a personal relationship with you. I choose to live my life for you, God, and give everything I have. Thank you for saving me, and thank you for loving me. Amen. You know, if you made that decision right now, you can click on that button, say that you've accepted Jesus. And if you guys need prayer for anything, there's people here that are willing to stay on a little longer and to spend some time chatting with you and praying with you. And if you watch this video later in the week, I would just ask that you call the office for prayer. Thank you so much for coming together as a church and watching this message. Remember, our mission is to reach people for Jesus Christ, one person at a time.